In a few minutes, we'll find out what Carolyn Crawford has planned for the Institute of Astronomy Open Day. But first, moving away from the Science Festival, Louise Ogden continues her series looking at our big telescopes. This time, the Chandra Space Telescope.
Highly energetic sources throughout the universe emit X-rays. This part of the electromagnetic spectrum can't be viewed from the Earth because the photons are absorbed by our atmosphere. The Chandra X-ray Telescope was launched in 1999 in order to observe these X-ray sources. And over a decade later, Chandra is still performing at its very best, and in fact has been scheduled to continue working for another 10 years. I spoke to Harvey Tannenbaum, the director of the Chandra X-ray Centre at the Harvard-Smithsonian Centre for Astrophysics in Cambridge, Massachusetts, about the role that Chandra has played in increasing our understanding of the universe.
Chandra is a very special telescope in that it images X-rays coming to us from stars and galaxies out there in the universe. And by focusing on X-rays, Chandra is looking at places where cosmic violence either heats gases to very high temperatures or excites particles to very high energies. And so we're looking at places where stars explode, material falls on top of a neutron star or a black hole, or generally very strong gravity or strong magnetic fields are present. And in that sense, looking at parts of the universe that may not be visible by ordinary optical, radio, and infrared telescopes.
So was Chandra the first X-ray telescope that we had? I assume that we can only see X-rays if we're out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Yes, we have to go above the Earth's atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere absorbs X-rays very efficiently. In fact, it's very important. It protects us from what would otherwise be damaging X-ray radiation from the sun, for example. So by using rockets and satellites to get up above the Earth's atmosphere, the United States, the European Space Agency, various individual countries in Europe and Japan have all mounted satellites to study the X-ray aspects of the universe. The real gains with Chandra result from its superior imaging properties. It basically takes pictures that are 10 times sharper than any previous X-ray telescope. So by focusing the signal down onto the detector, Chandra is able to see features that simply couldn't be detected in the past and is able to resolve specific aspects of images with incredibly greater detail than previous X-ray telescopes.
And Chandra was launched quite a while ago now, wasn't it?
Chandra was launched in July of 1999. It was nominally designed to have a 5-year lifetime, but there's nothing on board which currently limits the life to anything short of a decade already completed and hopefully at least another decade to come. I should also mention that there's a very complementary observatory called the XMM Newton Observatory, which is primarily a European Space Agency mission. It launched just a few months after Chandra, so it's been up and working in orbit for more than a decade as well. It doesn't quite have the imaging power that Chandra has, but it actually contains larger mirrors and collects more X-rays. So for energy studies and timing studies, it's a fantastic observatory as well.
Whereabouts does it orbit then? I assume it's not very close to the Earth.
Yeah, Chandra is quite a ways up above the Earth. It's in what we call an elliptical high Earth orbit. So it sort of looks like an egg-shaped orbit. It comes down as close as a few thousand kilometers above the surface of the Earth, and it moves out as far as about 140 to 150,000 kilometers, equivalent of about a third of the distance out to the moon. Over a period of years, the orbit sort of breathes, so the low point can become higher, the high point can become lower, but the time for the orbit is about 2.5 days for Chandra to make one revolution around the Earth.
Why is it in an orbit rather than at a Lagrangian point, in a stable place?
It takes just a bit more lift power to go all the way out to Lagrangian point in a stable orbit, and we basically wanted to pack as much of the mirrors and the detectors into the satellite as we could. So for Chandra, the mass limitations led to a trade-off between going all the way out to Lagrangian orbit versus these highly elliptical Earth orbits. We get quite a high viewing efficiency. We're actually able to do science between 70 and 75% of the time in the orbit that Chandra's in. At the Lagrangian point, it might be closer to 90 or 95%, but we probably have about 50% more collecting area than we would have been able to pack in had we gone to a still further orbit. Originally, the plan was to, in fact, put Chandra in an orbit quite comparable to Hubble and then service it so that replacement instruments could be put on board every so often. At the time that Chandra was put into its final design stages in the early 1990s, it was recognized that the costs of servicing are actually very, very substantial. So the decision was made to put it into a more benign kind of an orbit away from the Earth so that it didn't cycle from day to night every 90 minutes, so the power didn't have to go on and off and the temperatures go up and down. But by putting it in this higher orbit, there was no longer a temptation to demand servicing if something unexpected went wrong, and simply was a budgetary trade-off.
What's your highlight of Chandra's mission?
First and foremost, probably the most exciting moment of Chandra was when we actually started taking the first images and we could actually confirm all of the mechanical devices worked. The doors open and the telescope actually focused the X-rays to a very sharp image on the cameras at the other end of the observatory. The official first light picture was of a supernova remnant, the aftermath of an explosion. It's a supernova remnant named Cassiopeia A. And in just about an hour and a half's observation, Chandra was able to detect the neutron star, the little point-like source in the middle of the image that we were quite sure must have been formed at the time of the explosion about 300 years ago, but previous X-ray telescopes simply didn't have the sensitivity and resolving power to find that little source. Chandra found it in the first 90 minutes. A couple of the highlights that I would focus on from Chandra are the discovery that black holes exist in almost all large galaxies, and in many cases material falling onto those black holes generates a substantial amount of X-ray radiation, which Chandra is able to detect. So in many ways, Chandra is a black hole finding machine.
Harvey Tannenbaum speaking with Louise Ogden.